You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
Pray with me for this morning. Father God, on this Mother's Day, is there a heart of commitment to stand in this body that you've given us? One body, many members. May we, for many years, come to know these kids as they grow and do life. And may we be given opportunities again and again to enter in. Jesus, thank you for this fellowship, this safe place of trust. God, this morning, may we enter in the joy of what is going on in your word and in this experience of where we are among. God, you give us this book of Acts, and it's looking at our lineage and dates in our history that touch us today, that awaken this experience of your life in us. Jesus, may we look around this room and see the faces and the names that you have drawn us together with, that we get to do this life as one body in you, Jesus. Be with us this morning in worship and through discovering your truth in this book of Acts. In your name, amen.
Good morning, Open Door. How you guys doing? Moms, a little one of these for you right here. You know what I'm saying? Gosh, I am so jacked up this morning. I'm so excited to be with you. It's been a long time since I've gotten to preach here at Open Door, and I'm thankful. I'm excited. I'm blessed of the passages that I get to teach. And I don't know if you've been here or have been for part of this, but we've been in Acts, and it has been out of control awesome as far as what we've gotten to unpack. It has been this idea of, okay, these events took place, the Holy Spirit shows up, and then kind of the so what question, right? The so what now? So how does that translate into my life? What does that do? What does that look like, taste like, feel like? And then we're getting to watch these men in the Bible who are getting to experience the Holy Spirit, and the so what is coming out of them. And they're getting to preach and change lives and do miracles and are being stoned because of their convictions. And so we've been traveling through this, and last week Jason brought us to this awesome spot of taking this word, taking God's word, and looking at it with these eyes of wonder, almost like a childlike view of it, and saying, oh my gosh, is this really happening? Did this really happen? And oh my gosh. And so it takes us into today. And you guys, the reason we're sitting in this room today is this passage, what we're going to go through. There's an event that took place in our history. It really took place, and it's why all of us are here. There's a couple Jews in the house. My wife is one of them. They would have got here. But this is for the Gentiles, us, anyone that is not the Jews. And let me pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what it's done in my heart this week and last week. And oh man, thank you for this event. Thank you for this event in history where you showed up and you did the miraculous again. And God, my prayer this morning would be that we would get to celebrate this event, that we would get to hear this story and celebrate, but that also that your spirit would wake up in us. And that it would actually change the way we live our lives. That we would get up out of our seats after today and we would see life differently because of this event. God, we are your people and we need you and we love you and we thank you for your word. In your son's name, amen. I can't do anything else but just tell this story. I wanted to take us down a lot of roads, but I'm just going to tell a story. So it kind of goes something like this. Now there was a man at Caesarea. The smart people that I talk with, and I don't really talk with a lot of smart, well, I do talk with some smart, but the people that know stuff, they say it's Caesarea, right? And I just can't call it that. I'm just sorry, I can't call it. I had this picture of Little Caesar's Pizza coming out with a new pizza line called Caesarea, and And then the second thought came of Taco Bell and Little Caesars coming together and creating the Caesarea, and I'm stuck. And so They record this, and if ever you guys see Taco Bell with a Caesarea, you tell me. We go over there and we get a cut on whatever they and so like let's just pinky swear right now that if you come on put them out there that if you hear of Caesarea you give me some credit. I'll take about 25% and Open Door will get another percent out of that. So Caesarea is where this guy named Cornelius, who is a centurion man, and he's a part of the Italian cohort. He's a devout man, one who fears God with all of his household. Now, for most of us, we read this statement, there's a man from Caesarea named Cornelius, he's a centurion, and he's a devout man who loves and fears God, and that doesn't really rock the boat. So I'll read it this way. There's a man in Tucson who is a devout Arizona Sun Devils fan. I don't have a descriptor to tell you. This is a phenomenon, that there is this man who is a Roman general, a centurion, and he is a devout believer that there's this God out there. That's like foreign stuff. And not only that, he actually, because he believes there's this God out there, he actually lives a little bit differently. He's starting to give alms to the Jewish people, it says. And it says that he prays to God. And so what we'll unpack here is this incredible thing. And all of a sudden, it says about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw a vision, an angel of God, who had just come to him and said, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze, he was much alarmed. He said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now, dispatch, for there's a man in Joppa, send for him. His name is Simon Peter, they call him Peter. He's staying with Simon, who's the tanner, so don't get it messed up. He's Simon Peter. And he's at this house by the sea. And so Cornelius, he goes and he grabs three of his men, one soldier, and he sends them to go find this guy named Peter. And if you can kind of get a little grasp of this, it's probably a little bit of a scary thing. Because the Jews and this Roman dude are not going to be getting along so well. They don't really see eye to eye. It's a little bit dicey. And so this is kind of some weird thing. All of a sudden, this guy who's really not a God follower, but he's starting to find this God, is going, all of a sudden, a spirit, an angel shows up in front of him and says, you got to go get this Jewish man named Peter and bring him back. And so he goes, well, first of all, I'm going to send a couple people, but I'm also going to send a soldier too, just to make sure. And so they go to find him. And it says this, on the next day, as they were approaching the city, Peter went up on top of his house, and about the sixth hour he began to pray. But becoming hungry and was desiring to eat, but while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And as he did, he saw the sky open up and an object like a great sheet coming down. It was lowered by four corners to the ground, and there was in it all kinds of four-footed animals, crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And a voice came to Peter. Peter, get up, kill, and eat. But Peter said, by no means, my Lord. Like, how dare you? By no means. You know, he says this, you know, Lord, that I've never eaten anything that is unholy or unclean. And again, the voice came to him a second time. Peter, what God has cleansed, no longer call unholy. This happened three times. And immediately, the object was taken up into the sky. You guys get what's being presented, right? There's this picture of these four-footed animals. There's this picture of all these creatures ascending. And God's saying to Peter, Peter, I want you to get up and I want you to eat that. And Peter's going, no. You know that I've given my life to this cause. You know that we're in this thing, God. It's like this revolution that I'm a part of. And you know I'm not going to play a game with it. Almost like, how dare you question me? In some ways, that's what he's saying. And God says to him, man, Peter, I don't think you get it, right? Like, what I've done on the cross actually did something. right? Don't ever question what I have made clean, Peter. And at that same time, Peter's perplexed, and the voice comes back to Peter and says, hey, in a second, there's these three guys that are going to show up. Go down and meet with them, and don't bring any misgrievances, is what it says. And you can imagine Peter, he's probably going, it's all just funky right now. Like, there's this thing with these animals, and then you're telling me that there's people coming into my house, these three guys, and you don't want me to be mean to them? Like, I don't even know what's going on. And so, sure enough, he goes downstairs, and sure enough, there's these three guys there waiting for him. And I got to say it just before we go any further. Peter's got a serious issue with the number three. Can we just get that out there? Right? Like, serious, he probably ought to get it looked at type of thing. Right? Like, how many times does Jesus ask him, Peter, do you love me? Right? Three times. And then how many times does he deny Christ? Three times. How many people groups is he bringing the Holy Spirit to? Three people groups. Right? And then how many times does Jesus say to him, hey, get up and eat that thing? Three times. And now he's got three jokers showing up waiting for him. Right? Kind of a little, he probably had to get that looked at. Okay? Either way, they show up and this is crazy. This is crazy. They come in and they go, Peter, we're coming to look for you. And he goes, yeah, I know. And he goes, can you tell me why you're here? Can you tell me why you showed up? And they go, well, it was there's this centurion man. Well, let me step back. He's a devout man. He loves God. We promise. He's a believer. He's kind of like you guys, but he's a little. We promise. He's okay. And anyways, he was praying or something, and this guy in shiny clothing showed up and said that we were come to get you, Simon Peter, not Simon the Tanner who you're living with, but you. So that's why we're here. And he goes, I can just imagine Peter going, no way, no way, God. This is about to happen. You're going to let them in. That was a good one with the animals coming down. I get what you're doing now. I get what you're showing. Right? The dogs of the earth are going to get in. And you can see him. You can see him. Before he goes with him, he's pacing back and forth, and he's going, there's no way this is happening. There's no way that these Gentiles are getting in. There's no way. God, you know how they live, right? I mean, you've even given us laws that have said, don't hang out with these folks. They're unclean. They're unholy. You get this, right? God, you get it's going to change a bit. And you can imagine his agony. Peter's devout. God, no, I'm not going to eat that. You know I won't eat that, right? It's like this whole thing. If we've played back the last 10 chapters of Acts, you see this almost like a revolution going on, right? There's these men who have received the Holy Spirit and they're in it and it's their gig and they're lowering Saul down in a basket out of cities and it's like this revival, right? And he's going, seriously. Seriously, you're going to let them in. And I'm reading this section. Oh, I'm embarrassed to even share this. I'm reading this section, and I start crying. I just start crying. It was about 2 weeks ago, and I haven't really shared this with anyone. But I'm reading it, and I'm reading it, and I'm reading it. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm Peter in this situation. I'm Peter. A little backstory. Freshman year of high school, I'm at Washington High School, and the head guy of Young Life, Matt Moreno, comes to me and he says, Caleb, I'd love for you to start being a part of Young Life and just showing up and being a part of it and just being a presence there and being a voice. And I said, okay, that sounds awesome. And so I show up. And I last 2 weeks. And I never went back. And Caleb Lynch, if I had an MO, if I had something that I would share with you that is hard for me to share, would be this line. I don't want to give you Jesus unless you're going to live this Christian life the way I live it. I don't want to give you Jesus, my Jesus, if you're not going to take it seriously. And that's me. And that's Peter right here. And he's going, God, no, this is our thing, man. Like, please, God. Like, I don't, you know I've, like, given my life to this cause, and you're going to let these people in? These people that are getting trashed on the weekend, these people that are sleeping with their girlfriends, these people that mock you when they're not in this little young life setting, you're going to let them in? But Peter goes back to those three guys and says, okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's see what this God has in store. And so they show up. And they're now in Caesarea. And it says that they show up to Cornelius' house. And immediately, you guys, Cornelius falls onto the ground and he starts worshiping Peter. And Peter, this zealous, this kind of man's man, now you can imagine this. You've got a general of an army, probably oversees close to 1,000 people, man's man of the Roman army, and you've got Peter, who's this radical, crazy dude, and this general is bowing down to Peter. And Peter, I can just imagine, he picks him up and he says, get up, get up. And he says to him, you know I'm just a man too. Right? You get this. I'm just a man too. And I can imagine, they don't share, but I can imagine Cornelius being going, I don't even know what's going on, man. I just know that I feel like God's going to do something crazy today, and you're here, and I know I was supposed to call for you, and I don't even know. And so they enter into Cornelius' house, and it's standing room only. Cornelius has said, hey, you guys show up. Something big's about to happen. And Peter turns to Cornelius. It's incredible. And he goes, can you remind me why you sent for me? And Cornelius goes, well, this was like I was praying, if you can believe it or not, me praying, and all of a sudden this guy in shiny clothes shows up, and he says, go find this Simon Peter, not Simon the Tanner, he's living with Simon the Tanner, but get Simon Peter and tell him to come. And then he says to him this, he says, now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have commanded by the Lord. Go ahead, talk. So Peter is going, oh, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me, right? The whole thing is just, you just wanted me to show up, and now that I'm here, okay, go ahead and talk. And so he does. And so he does. It says this, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is no one to show partiality. That word partiality is a status word. So even in Peter's language, even in the way that Peter is verbalizing to them, he's saying, you're low, I'm high, but I am convinced that that doesn't matter. Right? Even in Peter's moment of like, all right, let me tell you what I got, he's saying, I'm convinced that even though you're the scum, that God still loves you. There's this incredible picture in Eastern tradition, so probably about this time, of how someone in authority and someone of less authority would kind of greet each other, would exchange prior to them meeting together or doing life together, whatever that looks like. And here's what it would look like. The person of less authority would show up, and the person of authority would kind of almost put their hands out like this. And the person of less authority, it was almost kind of like bowing down. And to show that person that in this situation, our status is not keeping us apart, the person of authority would lift their face and look them straight in the face, almost kind of saying, you're welcome here. We're on the level playing field. And that's what he's saying to them. He's saying, not only am I convinced that he's done it for me, but I want you to know that now I am convinced that the God of the universe takes your face and he looks at you and he says, you're welcome here too. And so he goes on. And I think this is incredible. He says this. He says, I am certain and I understand now that God is no one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the son of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. And then he pauses. He goes, you guys, he's Lord of all. You yourselves know the things which took place all throughout Judea and starting in Galilee and after the baptism of John, proclaiming, you know that Jesus Nazareth of Nazareth, how God anointed him and the Holy Spirit with power, and how he went out and did great things and healing, and he oppressed people or sent out the devil, for God was with him. Can I tell you, we were witnesses of this. Both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and you guys, they put him on a cross. And then God raised him up on the third day and granted him to become visible. Not to everyone, but to the witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. This is to those of us who actually ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us, those who witnessed him, to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, all the prophets bear witness. And through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Amen. You guys, you know what he did? You know what Peter did here? Phenomenal. He doesn't give him a message about heaven and hell. He doesn't give him this theological talk. He doesn't give him anything other than he says, you guys know that Jesus you're hearing about? He's real. And he did what he said he was going to do. He did what the prophets said he was going to do. And I actually got to hang out with him. And I want you to know he's real. Oh, and by the way, he died. And then I had dinner with him after it. So you do the math on that one. Right? You know what he did? You know what he gave Cornelius and his home? He gave them Jesus. They knew God. Imagine the amount of people in our city right now. They know that there's some kind of God out there that probably holds the world in motion and that there's some kind of moral standard of living that he's kind of created. They get it. I worked with a guy, one of my very first jobs, and he said to me, he came up to me, he goes, you go to church, don't you? I'm like, yep, I sure do. And he goes, you know all that stuff you believe? I'm like, yeah, I know the stuff I believe. He goes, you know I believe it too? I'm like, okay. And he goes, you know we know the truth, right? And I said, I didn't know that. And he goes, yeah, we all know that it's true. He goes, I just don't know what to do with these Christians yet. Right? And I'm like, it's true. There's hundreds of them, maybe thousands, maybe millions in this city of Phoenix that are that Cornelius, that have realized there is a God out there that probably actually changes the way I live my life and see life, and yet they don't have Jesus. They don't know this Jesus. And so Peter goes, you know what I'm going to give him? I'm going to give him Jesus. And that's all he does. You guys, this was the day we got in. This is the day we were given the keys to the kingdom. This was the day that the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say this. While Peter was still speaking, these words of the Holy Spirit fell on those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out onto the Gentiles also. And then Peter says, well, let's go get in the water. Let's get baptized. You guys, this is your inauguration day. This is your independence day. This was the day that you were given the keys to the kingdom. It started here, and it trickled down to you and I today. There is no longer a single Peter who carries the keys to giving the Holy Spirit or to giving people Jesus to different nations or to different people groups or to different people in your area. There is no longer a Peter who holds that key. You are the ones with the keys. You, those of us who have heard this message and have believed in this Jesus, you are the ones with the keys. You are the ones that now get to be a part of this revival in upturning this world for Jesus. There's one stipulation with the keys. There's one stipulation. You have to make duplicates. right? There's one stipulation. The keys for you were never meant for you alone. The keys to the kingdom, the gift of the Holy Spirit, was not so that you could become more mature, so that you could become a better person, so that you could have a better life and a better wife and a better family and a better home. The keys of the kingdom for you were so that you could join the revolution, so that you could be a part of the change that this world needs more than anything else, and it's Jesus. It's not some talk about heaven or hell. It's not some talk about right living. It's Jesus, period, Jesus. And I know because you already heard my story. That's really hard. That's really scary to say, I don't even know what that would look like for me to give someone Jesus. And there's a bunch of different people in this room. I've got my own craziness where I have this thing of like, God, I don't want these people in if they're going to mess it up, right? But for all of us, we carry a different feeling. We carry this. Some of you are going, I have never felt that where Jesus has lifted my face up and looked me in the face and said, you're welcome here and I love you. Come next week. Come next week. We get to play in this reality of that statement that God says to Peter when he's in his trance, when he says, listen, don't ever call something unclean that I've already made holy. Come next week. That is about us. That's about how we get to see God looking into our face. Some of you are saying, you know what? I felt that a long time ago, but this Christian life has really not paid off for me. And I'm not quite sure I want to give the keys to anyone else. Right? Why would I want to invite someone in? Hey, this shirt looks terrible on me. Try it on for you. Right? There's those of us in here. Come next week. Come next week. You guys, we need each other. We need each other. This is a revolution. This is us being a part of something bigger than we even know what to do with. And so we're going to do something kind of weird. Sorry. I've got a key. Okay, and it's got ODF written on it so that you don't forget. And I'm just going to throw it out in the crowd. And what this key is a representation of is representation of us as a community, as a body of believers saying, we get to be a part of giving these keys away. And what I want you to do with it, if you get it, over the next 5, 10, 15, 30 years, I want you to pass it on to someone in this body. Whether it passes 7 times today or 20 times next week, I don't really care. But every time you give it to someone, I want you to remind them and say, your keys to the kingdom were not meant for you. Go give them away. Go make duplicates and pass it on. Uh-oh, you got it. Let me pray for us. God, what an event. What an event in history that you would actually show up and do the supernatural. God, would you let this story transform our hearts? Would you let it infiltrate the way we see? Would you let it get us up out of our seats and go find those in our city named Cornelius that just need to have Jesus? God, we need you, we love you, and we thank you for the keys that you gave us. We're thankful that you lifted our face and that you said, I love you and you're welcome here. Your son's name. Amen.
Good morning, Open Door. Hey, guys! Welcome. If this is your first time here, this—if you'll have us, this is yours, man. This is what an awesome quartet, you guys. They were here closing out Friday night, the big hymn sing that we had. It's just beautiful what Friday night was. Well, welcome this morning. Guys, this one's for you. In 5 days from now, I'm going to get in my car on Friday and drive up north. And I hope you guys are going to be up there at the men's retreat. We're having the men's retreat up at Mountain Meadows again. It's $70 online. There's still room. you guys be up there with me as we're going to have time of engaging Friday night and Saturday night around fires together, entering in and hearing from each other in stories and sharing about courage, about discouragement, and engaging in the hearts of one another. Food, frisbee golf, play, prayer, and worship. You guys, a great weekend up at Mountain Meadows. So go, get signed up. There's still room. And to sign up, there's not going to be any tables. It's all online sign up. You can do that on your phone. You can do that on your web and get signed up today. Mothers. Hey, if you're a mom, a grandma, a great-grandmother, would you stand up for me and stay standing for a minute? Ladies, stand up. Don't sit down. Stay standing for a minute. I want to share with you my heart, and I think it resonates with all of us. Before I ever had capacity to remember a moment, I experienced sacrificial love for the first time by God's design because he gave me a mom. Mothers, you're the first experience in our life of sacrificial love. From the womb to minute one to year two to year five, our experience of sacrificial love, our hunger for it, and our seeking of it began first in that nature and that nurture of sacrificial love that we experienced with you. Thank you, moms, very much. Happy Mother's Day. Now, Mother's Day is not always a day of joy for everybody. So if there's any part of your experience today that all you're experiencing is grief, of loss, and your heart or your desire is to meet with someone or to pray with someone, that's our heart too. And Sarah and Morgan, who are in the back, they're going to be in the prayer room if you want to meet with them and just be in tears with them. If that's your experience, because Mother's Day touches us in many ways. Yes, joy, but sometimes it's loss. Sometimes it's a mothering experience never experienced. And it could be in miscarriage. That can be in some other loss of children. That can be in adoption and abortion. If that's your experience and that's what you're feeling this morning, then be with them as they want to just create a safe place for you to be in prayer or in grief. That's in the prayer room, which is just off on the west side in the foyer. So we do this wonderful tradition on Mother's Day, and that's child dedication. So parents and your children, if you're dedicating your children this morning, I want you to go ahead and bring your kids on up and stand right up in front here. Now's that time. And Brian Dario, you in here? Brian, come on up here with me. Brian is our children's pastor, and he's going to join me in this child dedication. As we do these child dedications, Open Door, it's for all of us. This great, great gift that God has given us of child dedications where these parents are choosing to dedicate their children and raising their children in Christ-centered family. They're also giving us the opportunity to enter in with them as the body of Christ. So, parents, we got more coming. Come on, Bethany. There we go. This is how we should start every Sunday morning. Check that out. That's just cool. Parents, as you come this morning to present your children to God in this act of dedication and thanksgiving, you're following a tradition which has been carefully observed by godly parents from generation to generation. In bringing your children this morning, you're also giving all of us in here an opportunity. And it's the opportunity to share in this commitment with you and dedication with you. Jesus himself says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these ones." So parents, please respond to both of these questions by saying, "I will, by the grace of God." Believing that your children are a gift from God as an expression of your thanksgiving to him and sensing your responsibility as a parent, will you promise to train up this child in trust and admission of the Lord? Claiming the truth of the word of God, which says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Will you, by your faith, prayer, example, guide and teach this child so that when he or she comes to the age of understanding, they will be aware of their need for a Savior
and will know God's way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Open Door, this is our part. If you have a heart to stand with these children and raising them in this body of Christ, then stand up with me, and we'll just read this to the parents. By God's grace, we will live our lives as an example of Christ for these children. It is our hope to be steadfast in our love towards them, rooted in the truth of God's word, and to help lead them to the saving knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. So parents, just as in any commitment to Him, the Lord waits to empower us for the ministry that we've accepted from Him. As you look to Him today, may you open your hearts to receive from Him the gift of wisdom, power, faith, and love that will make your vows a reality. Now what we're going to do is Brian's going to join me as he's dedicating his kids too. Then Brian's going to be joining me and have an opportunity for you to introduce yourself and your children with us and then pray over each one of you guys. And since you're here, come on, let's do the Dario's. Bethany, come on up here. Introduce yourself.
So my name is Brian Dario.
I'm Bethany Dario.
Maya.
Maya. And this is baby Asher.
All right. Father God, let's pray for this family. May they enter in and trust this body of Christ, that we would together stand with them in the raising of these children. Jesus, bless them and go before them as there is a life ahead, a journey of discovering trust in you. Jesus, go before them in your name. Amen. Amen. Now, come on up and whoop, whoa, we're just right in the midst of it. All right, Brian.
All right, so here we go. How you guys doing? Sorry if I smell like throw up. It's okay. It's my normal scent. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
This is my wife, Sarah. This is Hannah, Rebecca, Rachel, and I'm Raymond.
Let me pray for you guys. Dear Father, thank you so much for this family. Thank you for baby Rachel and just this beautiful Pinger family, God. I just pray that we as a body would be able to support them and come around them and love them as they raise these beautiful children, Father, and that we can just be here for them through the thick and thin, through the joys and sorrows of life, God. So in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay. Come on up, yes. The Swedes, welcome. All right, go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Amy Fredrickson.
I'm Carl, and this is Johannes.
Hi, Johannes.
What a cutie. Awesome. All right. Hi, Johannes. All right, we're going to pray for them. Father, thank you so much for Amy and Carl and Johannes, and little Elsa, who's not here this morning as well in this room, but I just pray that you'd go before this family as they raise their beautiful children. And I pray again that we as a body, as believers in Christ, that we would come around them and help them as they raise their beautiful children and give them the love and support that they need as they raise their kids, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Daniel Tanner, welcome.
Go ahead and introduce your family.
I'm Daniel, and this is my wife, Katie, and our little daughter, Kayleen.
Pray for you guys. Beautiful blue eyes. Hi, Kayleen. Okay. Father, thank you so much for Kayleen. Beautiful girls. I love it, Lord. The gifts that you've given us in children and these babies, Lord. I pray that we would be able to help support, raise up with this family, these kids and their babies, Lord, and love them, support them, provide for them when they need it, Lord, but that we would be with them hand in hand, step in step as they go through this life, Lord. Amen. Come on up, Youngs. Whew. Might take a few minutes here. Come on up. Let's make some room. Morning, guys. All right. So I'm gonna go down the line, okay? You guys want to introduce yourselves? All right, we're going to go in the back row first.
I'm Natalie.
I'm Logan.
I'm Grayson.
Jillian.
Caroline.
I'm Mom, Lisa.
I'm Jeff, and this is Juliet.
Okay. Yes, she does. All right. Lord, be with this family. Oh, what an amazing family, large family, amazing kids, and Juliet just joining this amazing family, Lord, and thankful for them in this body, God. I pray that we would be able to love them and help them as they raise this little village that they have, God, and that we'd be right there with them as they love and care for these kids, God. Amen.
All right, thank you, parents. Thank you, families.